and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, well, actually about 1:30 in the morning, I was lying in my bed thinking, I cannot breathe. I wonder why I cannot breathe. And then I woke up enough to realize that our electricity had gone off, and so had my CPAP machine. And I have to tell you, there's a slight panic that happens when you realize that you can't breathe, and you can't wake up enough to do anything about it. So I got up, took care of everything, tried to go back to sleep. I then spent the rest of the morning walking around, walking into rooms, and turning on the light switch. Now, I knew that the power was off. And nonetheless, I continued to walk into every single room and turn on the light switch and then go, oh yeah, the power's off. And after about the fourth time, you start to feel a little stupid. As if you cannot learn, right? You just keep flipping on the light switches. Now, what happens, of course, is eventually the power comes back on. And every light in the house is on. It's a case of knowing what you should do, but reflex takes over. You know, I have usually have the other problem, which is that whenever I walk out of a room, I turn the light off. And it doesn't matter that my wife is in the bathroom putting on her makeup. I turn the light off. 25 years. Habit. Well, today we talk about, Jesus talks about what it is to welcome. And I began to think about how reflexive we are with that word, welcome. Churches always think they know what it means to be welcoming. We have a formula for it. We get really good ushers whose job it is to welcome. And as long as the ushers are standing by the door, handing out bulletins and saying, good morning, welcome, we think we've been welcoming. And in fact, I've been to a few churches that if they had done that much, it would be a 100% improvement. Now, we go one step more. We have people who will come and put a lay on you and truly welcome you in a local way. We keep working at what it means to be welcoming. And in fact, I would say if you look at our mission statement, welcome is like the first word. We work hard at welcome. But I wonder sometimes if we as a church, as the whole church, truly understand what Jesus is up to. How radical and crazy his idea of welcome really is. Isn't it interesting that really early in Matthew, just in the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is already sending out the disciples. And one of his very first charges to them is that they should welcome and be welcomed. He says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Now that's a radical idea, isn't it? Whoever welcomes you as just this ordinary, plain person dressed rather nicely on a Sunday morning, whoever welcomes you is also welcoming Christ. Did you ever think of it that way? There's a story that one of the commentators talks about that she used to go to this grocery store all the time, and there was a bagger there, a grocery bagger. She talked with her, had a little relationship with her, and every week she would go and she would get her groceries and chat her up and so forth. And one time the woman said, oh, you know what? My schedule's changed. I'm not working on Sundays anymore. And the woman said, you know, if you're not working on Sundays, would you like to come to church? to our church. We have kind of a neat contemporary service. What was her response, would you guess? Exactly, right? This is what Lutherans expect. She hugged her for the welcome. It was unexpected. She just wasn't even looking for it, to be invited to church, and she hugged her and showed up to church. She welcomed her as Christ would welcome her. You see, what Jesus is about with the disciples is that he is sending them out into the world with this idea of welcome, this radical idea of what welcome should be. Well, in Jesus' world, if you kind of look at all the different ways that Jesus talks about welcome, welcome is not just being nice to people and smiling when you meet them or handing them a bulletin when they come into church. Welcome is rooted in justice. That's where it begins. Jesus says at the very end of this pericope, you know, whoever offers even a cup of cold water to these little ones, which aren't just children, but all who are powerless, all those who are outside of the norm, outside of what society expects, whoever offers even the smallest cup of cold water, welcomes also me. For Jesus to welcome the stranger, to welcome everyone, is a matter of God's justice. When the woman accused of adultery came up and was about to be killed, Jesus welcomed her. When the woman came and tugged on his robe and said, you know, please, please heal my daughter, heal me. Remember, over and over again, we hear those people coming to Jesus. He welcomes them. You see, welcome isn't just sort of smiling and being nice to people while really in your heart you're thinking, oh boy, I hope they don't follow me. Welcome for us is the same welcome that we received in Christ. Welcome means to treat someone as if they belong to God. Something different. In the same way, welcome is not... Welcome is a way of seeing. Welcome is a way of seeing. Now, you've all been part of organizations to which you were welcomed, right? I'm not a joiner in general, but I have joined a few things in my life, and what I constantly find to be true is that the welcome is extended in this way. We welcome you to become one of us. Isn't that nice? I don't want to become one of you. Right? But a lot of times in organizations, really, it's, you know, this association of like-minded individuals, and if you're not a like-minded individual, you ought to be. Or get out. Well, the welcome that Jesus calls to is seeing in a different way. It's not seeing that person as another potential person of the flock who will be like the rest of us. What Jesus' welcome does is ask us to see that person in a new way. For who and where they are, as God's own creation, And then that sight, that new sight gets reflected back on us, because in light of this new person, I see myself in a new way. There's something incredibly exciting and dynamic about this new vision that Christ calls us to in welcoming. So that you can begin to see that when you make that the first word of your mission statement, you've opened up a terrible can of worms. It's just awful. You see with eyes of justice, and you have to open your eyes to see people for who they are and where they are, and then truly and with integrity be invited. I didn't say invite. I said be invited. Because I think the third part of Christ's welcome is to accept the invitation that that person has for you. To be a part of their life, a part of their pain, a part of their joy, a part of their very being. So that it isn't you inviting them to become like that, like you, to become part of the flock, to become part of the group. But rather the organization itself finds itself transformed by the presence of the welcomed one. This little one. So welcome is justice, and welcome is a willingness to see in a new way. Maybe the best way to explain the whole thing is that at least as Jesus sees, and what he's telling his disciples, is that welcome is about love, given and received, and not the usual kind of love. You know, this is something that just drives me crazy about my daughter. Every movie is the best thing ever. I love that movie. I love that person. We use it so easily. This kind of welcome, this love, is agape. Unconditioned, unreasoned, unreasonable, crazy, absolutely risky, kind of nuts sort of love, in which people are gathered in for just like they are, with warts and unhappiness and all kinds of nasty things. And Christ, through us, offers the cold cup of water. And what's amazing is it's us that gets to drink. Our thirst is quenched. Because when we welcome in the name of a disciple or a prophet, when we welcome in the name of Christ, we too are fed with that love. On that day, Jesus sent the disciples out and told them, go out into the world and welcome people. And when you welcome in my name, you welcome as if you were me. When you give yourself up, you give me up as well. Righteous people, it's too bad they use the reward. It says, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. The actual word is inheritance. Reward sounds like it's something that you deserve, but an inheritance is undeserved. Trust me, I've worked with a lot of relatives, and most of them didn't deserve their inheritance. And it's the same way with Christ. That when we welcome, we receive the inheritance of the free gift of Christ. And so I'll finish as I almost always do, sending you out into the world in the name of Christ to live out the first word of our mission statement, to welcome in justice and willingness to see a new way in love with a cold cup of water for the little one.